Good morning, friends. Time keeps marching on. I wonder if you're having the same experience as me, where on the one hand, time seems to be passing very slowly, and I wonder if the pandemic will ever end. But on the other hand, time seems to be passing very quickly, and it's already halfway through May, and Logan only has another couple of months before daycare's over, and then he's going to start kindergarten in September. It's all just a bit disorienting, the varying speeds of time. It's one of the reasons I think we're all feeling both tired and on edge right now. Today in the church calendar is the seventh Sunday of Easter, which is also the last Sunday before Pentecost. Next week is Pentecost. It's hard to believe. But that means that this Sunday, it is the end of something, and next Sunday is the beginning of something else. For many in our tradition, Pentecost is the birthday of the church, the day when Jesus' ministry has passed from his hands and feet, from his earthly body, to ours. Which means that this Sunday, and particularly this gospel reading, functions sort of as Jesus' farewell discourse. I mean, it's from the Gospel of John, so it's very discoursey. John's is the longest-winded of the Gospels. I wonder how you feel when you read all this stuff about being in the world, but not belonging to the world, but staying in the world. There's a real danger for us in reading this that we might begin to think that this earth that we live on isn't worth it, that the only place that's worthwhile to be is heaven. Reading the text this way might lead us to think that this world is too evil, too immoral, too corrupt to be tolerated, and that our job in our time here is either to endure it in an endless suffering sort of way, or else to actively work to bring this world down. I think about conservative Christian commentators who, after Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, said that God was punishing New Orleans for its lewd and evil ways. I think about warmongers and weapons profiteers who encourage unrest and conflict in the Middle East because the second coming of Jesus can only happen after a great war of destruction that we used to call Armageddon. I think of the fatalists who, as COVID-19 swept through long-term care homes in poor countries, said that it must be God's plan for so many people to die. For all of these kinds of people, the only job humans have here on earth is to escape it and get to eternal life in the next world. Is it okay if I say here and now that this kind of theology is awful, terrible, destructive, even unchristian? Because it's all of these things. It directly contradicts the words of God in the book of Genesis, where God calls the creation and human beings good. It directly contradicts the words that we say in the Lord's Prayer every week when we ask for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it contradicts our own experiences of spirituality that happen in the forests and on the mountains, on and under the water, in our homes and families here on earth. We know that this theology is nonsense, and yet it continues to be pervasive in the culture around us, this idea that God hates the world and is out to destroy it. And yet, if today's gospel is not saying that, what is it saying? What does all of this language about being in the world but not of the world, about needing protection in the world, what does it all mean? I think the key to understanding this reading is to remember that there is in Christian thought a distinction between the world and the earth. In Greek, the word translated as world is cosmos, which does not mean outer space the way we might think it does in 2021. Cosmos, in ancient language, is a word that indicated order or structure. But it also has a meaning like adornment or decoration. The word cosmetic in our time comes from the word cosmos. In Genesis, God brought cosmos in to bring order to the chaos that existed before the creation. And during the creation, God called for the Adama, the earth, what we might call gain in the Greek. Mother Gaia or Mother Earth might come from this word, the earth, that is a little wilder, a little more untamed than those in charge of the cosmos might like. Cosmos, if you like, is the structure. Gain, then, is the substance. And anyone who's been a part of an organization over the years knows that structures get stale. They get dated. Their flaws can tend to take over, making the structure less effective than it used to be. There was once a time when clergy had all the power in a congregation, but over time that turned into an unhelpful hierarchy with not enough checks and balances. And so the Anglican Church, for example, reformed itself to give some power or say to the people in the congregation. This is why we have wardens and treasurers and parish councils and synods. The structure changed, it grew, it developed in order to more effectively give voice and life to the substance of the parish church, which is the welcome and care of all God's creatures. And so when Jesus critiques the world in our gospel reading today, he is really calling out all of those structures that have lost their effectiveness or that have been shown to be oppressive and dangerous. In our world, we've given some of those ineffective and dangerous structures names. We might call them colonialism or white supremacy. We might call them paternalism or patriarchy. We might call them fascism. I'm going to do a little experiment here and reread the gospel reading, but replace the word the world with the patriarchy, hopefully to make clearer what I'm talking about. If you're not sure what the patriarchy is, I'll just say that patriarchy is a social system in which men hold primary power and predominate in roles of political leadership, moral authority, social privilege, and control of property. Any of you men who still aren't sure what the patriarchy is, well, you should ask your wife, or your mother, or your daughter. I bet they know. A reading from John. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the patriarchy. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them. And they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the patriarchy, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the patriarchy, but they are in the patriarchy. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in the name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the patriarchy, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the patriarchy has hated them because they do not belong to the patriarchy, just as I do not belong to the patriarchy. I am not asking you to take them out of the patriarchy, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the patriarchy, just as I do not belong to the patriarchy. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the patriarchy, so I have sent them into the patriarchy. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I mean, it felt a little funny to do that over and over again. But I want you to consider that God does not want to pull us out of the world, or to punish us for the state of the world. In fact, God wants to empower us to stand up against and even fight against those kinds of power structures that would harm and oppress God's children and God's creation. Rather than anticipating the destruction of the world the way previous understandings of this reading might have, this time we are invited into the ongoing care and renewal of the structures of the cosmos that governs the substance, the earth, of our lives. We are, after all, the descendants of the creature that was created out of the Adama, the earth, in the book of Genesis. The promise of God is that the cosmos was created for our benefit, and if it doesn't work for our benefit, it is our job to work to change it, to bring down colonialism, to bring down racism and white supremacy, to bring down misogyny and patriarchy. This, and nothing less, is what God is asking of us in this reading from John today. And next week, as we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, we will be asked to put our plans into action.